The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. On the first day of the week, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and of how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Are some of you fans of the TV series Grantchester? It's a British show that we can see on PBS stations and streaming services in this country. It's set in the 1930s, and it follows a Church of England vicar who helps solve mysteries. Well, the author of the books on which the TV series is based is James Runcie, who recently published the newest title in the book series called The Road to Grantchester. One of the characters in this new book says that he likes to think of the meal shared by Jesus and the two disciples at Emmaus as the First Supper, comparing it to what we call the Last Supper in the upper room on Maundy Thursday. So the first supper. I like that image. In Luke's gospel, Jesus is frequently at table with his friends, with a diverse gathering of people from many backgrounds and mixed social status, talking together, sharing food and drink, enjoying the companionship of the moment, and building community. Scholars call this table fellowship, a generous hospitality that welcomes all to conversation and food and growth in the Spirit. Now, I would argue that this kind of hospitality is one of the core principles of Christianity. Now, we understand this concept, don't we? How we long, right now especially, for a gracious welcome to gather for conversation and fellowship with food and drink on our tables, to experience the dynamic energy that happens when people gather together, listening to each other, nourishing both our bodies and our souls. Today's gospel passage contains one of these moments. But before we get to the table of Emmaus, that first supper, we must travel along the road to Emmaus. In the story, Cleopas and his unnamed companion, another disciple who could be his wife, leave Jerusalem for Emmaus. It is a 7-mile journey. Their hearts are heavy. They're fearful. They had heard that Jesus has been raised, but they don't know what to do with the story of a risen Jesus, and even if they could believe it to be true. So they're leaving Jerusalem in confusion, grief, and disappointment. Most of us have walked the road to Emmaus. Maybe you're walking that road right now. The road to Emmaus is the road of giving up. It's the road of disillusionment, of despair, of turning our backs on the bright hopes of yesterday. It's the road we trudge when everything we thought had been promised to us has been nailed to a tree and has humiliatingly bled to death before our eyes. And now we're leaving it behind, dead and buried. I wonder if that speaks to some of us today. In what sometimes feels like the hopelessness and helplessness of these days, being told honestly that we're still somewhere in the middle of the COVID-19 crisis, when the uncertainty about what will, can, and should happen next saps our energy and our hope, and in our impatience, this may begin to feel not so much like the road to Emmaus as the 40-year wandering of the Israelites in the desert. As the disciples walk along the road, they meet a stranger going in the same direction. Actually, the Greek word used here is paroikos, which means alien. It's the same root for our English word that means parochial or parish. So the disciples pick up this alien. And we know who it really is because Luke whispers it to the reader in the middle of the story. The disciples offer hospitality to the risen Savior, to Jesus himself, although they don't know it. Hindsight is always revealing, and later they will recall something mysteriously compelling about that whole experience. Were not our hearts burning within us? They will ask. This may be one of the best known stories of hospitality in the New Testament. It's because it's a two-way track. The disciples reach out to a stranger, to an alien, and they receive more in return. They invite their alien to dinner, and it's not until he picks up bread and blesses it and hands it to them that they recognize Jesus. Maybe they see the marks in his hands. We don't know, but their eyes are opened, and they remember that just days ago, Jesus promised he would be with them every time they shared a meal in his name. And there he is. If you're tempted to think that these experiences of Jesus only happened to people who lived long ago, think again. See how he was teaching the disciples about what they already knew. They had studied the scriptures but suddenly it all seemed to come alive and make sense. The words were loaded with meaning that they had never understood before. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever shown up for church when we could do that, or logged in for worship and then realized that you've tuned out a little, but suddenly catch a word or a phrase that makes you sit up straight? You listen to the scriptures or sing the verse of a hymn and say, wait a minute, that was really powerful. I needed that word. Now I understand what it means. Was not your heart burning within you? Or remember when you yourself connected to a stranger, an alien, over a shared experience. Recall your early days in this congregation when you were seeking a connection to other people who were also searching for God. Or maybe this is your first time to connect to at all to Good Samaritan in this virtual way, and you're feeling a little alienated. Well, don't worry, this is a parish. We are parochial, paroikos, which means we are all aliens who in community are connected through Jesus. We are connected because Jesus promises to be with us as we hear the word and share hospitality. And there he is. This is what the disciples discover. Once they realize they've been with Jesus, they then want to be with other people who will understand their experience. Suddenly, Emmaus is no longer appealing. They never even unpack. Instead, they turn around and run straight back to Jerusalem. It's where they know they can be with the community that gathers with Jesus in their midst. Now, Emmaus is nowhere specific. In fact, its name soon disappears off the maps. If you go to Israel today, you will find there are three different places, 7 miles out from Jerusalem each, claiming to be the site of this gospel story. Emmaus as a place is nowhere and yet could be anywhere. Anywhere we encounter the risen Jesus. And every road, literally and figuratively, can be a road to Emmaus, where the risen Savior always comes to be with us, even when we don't recognize the loving presence. Now, most of us have not been on a physical road very often recently, but it may feel as if we are trudging along with that broken-hearted couple heading toward our Emmaus. Remember that Jesus meets the disciples on that very road. Jesus always meets us where we are, whether in celebration or mourning, whether in victory or defeat, whether in gladness or sorrow, whether in times of health or sickness or even pandemic. We are on a journey as a congregation, as Christians, as a society, both nationally and globally. The road to Emmaus story moves us from isolation to community. The fearful, doubting, isolated disciples at the beginning of the journey end up in community with Jesus at the end of their road. Jesus joined them on that way, and then they invite him into their home. Jesus is showing up at your place. Whether you are staying home alone or in the company of the same group of people, all of whom are beginning to look a little scruffy by now, and maybe even rubbing on each other's last nerve. The Savior is present in the meals you share with others or eat alone, your own first suppers. The Savior is present in whatever online fellowship you are enjoying, perhaps in the Zoom happy hour at 5 o'clock that this congregation will enjoy this afternoon, or in a phone call with a neighbor or friend. May your eyes be opened to the loving presence. May your hearts burn within you in recognition, and may your spirit awaken in hope. Amen.